Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
It's our news unit for the month of November. It also happens to be our All English unit. So we're going to cover a couple of news stories today. One is about the construction industry in Japan, and I think some of the ideas that are going on there could be applied to Taiwan, because I think Taiwan is also suffering from a labor shortage. We're going to find out about that in just a second. And we're also talking about coral reef restoration.
Yeah, that's for you scientists out there, or for people out there that just love the ocean. We're going to talk about something that has been developed to help beautiful coral reefs survive. So that's kind of exciting. Before we start, guys, as we always do, we're going to read through both news articles right now.
News Watch. Japan turns to gamers to solve labor shortage. Konami's Esports Academy, part of the leading Japanese video game company, has partnered with the country's Transportation Digital Business Conference, TDBC, to train esports players for the construction industry. TDBC promotes the use of digital technologies in transportation and construction. This collaboration connects gaming skills with construction needs, creating new career opportunities for esports players. The partnership addresses Japan's serious construction labor shortage and aging workforce. By training gamers to operate heavy machinery remotely, using controllers similar to gaming equipment, the industry hopes to attract younger workers. The remote operation system allows one operator to control multiple construction sites from a single office, maximizing efficiency and reducing the need for on-site workers. This innovative approach aims to transform the construction industry's image from dirty and dangerous work into a high-tech appealing career. Gamers can apply their precise control skills and quick reactions to real-world projects. What's more, the technology may be useful in disaster relief situations where remote-controlled equipment can operate in dangerous areas without risking lives.
Scientists develop smelly gel to boost coral restoration. Scientists have developed a new gel that could greatly improve coral reef recovery. The gel releases chemical signals that encourage coral larvae to settle and grow in damaged reef areas. Coral larvae drift in the ocean after they are born. Choosing where to settle is critical because once they attach, they stay there permanently. Unfortunately, degraded reefs or artificial structures often lack the natural chemical cues that make larvae feel safe. In fact, these environments may give off warning signals that prevent larvae from settling at all. Researchers looked for ways to solve the problem and focused on a type of algae known to release helpful substances. They created an artificial gel that mimics the algae's natural signals. In experiments, the gel increased larval settlement by up to 20 times compared with surfaces without the gel. This method could bring new hope to coral reef restoration, especially in places where nature alone can't do the job. In the future, it might help coral reefs grow and survive on their own.
Okay, everybody, now that you've listened carefully to us reading the articles for today, let's break them down and analyze them word by word and sentence by sentence. So this is our News Watch unit for the month of November. The first story's title is Japan Turns to Gamers to Solve Labor Shortage. Okay, so that's the news title here. It's not a complete sentence here, but this is how we write things for news stories. I think the same thing is done in Chinese as well. And so here, if you turn to something, you seek that out as an alternative, basically because you're missing something or you need something, so you look for an alternative. We should all have someone to turn to, for example, if we have trouble in our lives.
Yeah, maybe you've had a bad day and you want to turn to a good friend or maybe one of your parents and kind of confide in them, let them know you had a bad day. And they usually offer some sympathy and some help. So they we can often use that phrase turn to just to talk about finding a solution to something that maybe we're struggling with. Japan has a shortage of workers. When you talk about labor, you're talking about not just physical work, but mental work as well. And it's always done by people. Although more and more today we're seeing, pieces of machinery or even robots or computers that are AI driven doing some of the work out there that people used to do. And we're going to kind of talk about how they're combining people and machines in this new solution to solve a labor shortage. Again, if you have a shortage of something, you don't have enough of it, right? So you might have a labor shortage, a water shortage. Sometimes the government will ask us to be more careful with the use of water because we haven't had a lot of rain. That wasn't really the case this summer. We've had lots and lots of rain. So what are they doing in Japan? Let's take a look.
Okay, I did want to mention that the word labor here, L-A-B-O-R, is the American spelling. The British spelling would be L-A-B-O-U-R. And what's happening in Japan? Well, we've got the Konami Esports Academy, and that is part of the leading Japanese video game company. And this particular academy, this particular organization, has partnered with the country's Transportation Digital Business Conference, or TDBC for short, to train esports players for the construction industry. So that's a long sentence, but it does introduce the topic to us. First of all, we're talking about a sports academy in Japan. An academy is kind of like a school or an organization. So in this particular case, it's kind of like a sports organization, and it involves esports. Okay, so these are sports played online. They don't actually have any physical players bouncing a basketball or throwing a baseball or hitting a hockey puck.
No, these are all video game players. And we know that that's pretty popular, not just here, but all around the world. So if you partner with somebody, you're usually a company that wants to do something that's a little out of your area of expertise. And so you look around at other companies and you kind of find out who's good at what you want to kind of move into. And they found the TDBC to work with, and they're going to try to train these esports players or video gamers. We'll just call them gamers, guys. They're going to try to train them to work in the construction industry. The construction industry, of course, is the industry that builds things out there. It could just be a home. It could be a building. It could be a bridge or a road. Construction is a pretty important industry, of course, because even after we build things, they fall down or they get old and we have to rebuild. So this is a good industry to go into if you're looking for work.
Right. And of course, it looks like they're saying that, hey, you gamers, get off your butts and head outside and do some work. But no, we're actually talking about them doing it online, which we'll explain in just a second here. So again, they want to train those gamers for the construction industry. Now, TDBC promotes the use of digital technologies in transportation and construction. So that's what this organization is all about, this conference. They want to promote the use of digital technologies in transportation and construction. In other words, they want to encourage people to use digital technology with buses and trains and things like that and taxis or whatever. And also with construction, and that, of course, involves building things. And, of course, we're constantly tearing buildings down and building new ones. It's never going to stop. So, of course, we do need the construction industry. We do need construction workers.
We do. So this is a collaboration we're talking about. Collaboration is when you work together with others to reach whatever goal you've set. It could be that you are on a team. You could call it a partnership if you've got two companies that way that are working together. And we'll often say you're working in collaboration. You'll see that phrase quite a bit in English. So this is a collaboration where people are working together to connect gaming skills with construction needs, which is such an interesting idea. I never thought of this. I kind of smiled when I first read it. And it's creating new career opportunities for esports players. Maybe kids who have just been totally focused on gaming since they were young teenagers are now, you know, looking around for work. Their parents are saying, hey, you need to get a job, dude. You're going to move out of the house and get busy. Well, this is going to take something that they've already really gotten excellent skills in, and that's gaming, and try to apply them to another industry. And in the meantime, earn some money, which is great.
Yes, indeed. And I think online gamers, for the most part, don't make money from doing that. They're just doing it for fun. Maybe a small percentage of people can actually make it into a career.
My cousin actually makes money.
Okay.
He's so good at gaming that he helps other gamers go up levels. Have you heard of that?
And
he sells that advice, yeah.
Okay, okay, fair enough. But still, I think most gamers probably don't make much money from it, if they make any money at all. And so they're connecting gamers with the construction industry, and that, of course, is creating new career opportunities for gamers or esports players, so they can do something besides, I don't know, chasing through some kind of maze with a machine gun and trying to shoot the enemy or whatever they're doing in those games. I don't play them myself. I don't want to get addicted to them. I think a lot of people get addicted to them, but I don't want to do that myself. But I'm addicted to other things, I admit. But in any case, here in the next paragraph, it says, the partnership addresses Japan's serious construction labor shortage and aging workforce.
Mm.
So again, this is a partnership, which just means they're working together. It's a collaboration. They're cooperating together. And here it's addressing, or, you know, being focused on Japan's construction labor shortage. Okay, they're trying to do something about the fact that they just don't have enough construction workers. And it also is going to address the aging workforce, which I think are probably pretty hand in hand with each other. If people are getting older and older and they're not having children, well, they're not giving birth to people who can take those construction jobs. And I guess in Japan, they're very reluctant to bring in workers from Southeast Asia or whatever. They want to keep their population pretty, you know, pure, I guess you could say.
Well, they don't like a lot of immigration, that's for sure.
Right.
They're trying to protect their own citizens, which I applaud. But if you're talking about a workforce, guys, you'll see this in English a lot. It's just a word we use to talk about all the people who are working or who are available to work. You've got an aging workforce. People are getting older, and they especially can't do some of these more physical tasks, or maybe they're too old to learn a new skill, like learning how to control big pieces of equipment by using a controller that gamers are able to do so easily. So by training these gamers to operate heavy machinery remotely, so they're not on site, they're not looking at that piece of equipment, they're not sitting in a driver's seat and operating that piece of heavy machinery, oh no, they are working remotely, they're away from that construction site entirely, and they're using controllers that they used to play video games, which is so fascinating. And it's the controllers that are operating these pieces of heavy machinery are just very similar to what gaming equipment looks like. So the industry is hoping to attract younger workers, these gamers that are just sitting at home, wasting time playing game. Make some money, guys. Apply for a job.
And remember, machinery is just a bunch of machines put together in kind of a system or a network, okay? It's kind of confusing here because machinery is a singular noun, whereas machines are countable one by one, but they're all being used together. So this is all heavy machinery.
And notice I said pieces of heavy machinery.
Right, don't say machineries.
No.
Although Ray Bradbury got away with that in the title of one of his books, I mean, The Machineries of Joy. But hey, he's a writer, he could get away with that. But in any case here, yes, they operate the machinery remotely. Like, for example, they're probably doing it with those kind of shovel machines. I think they're called guaisho in Chinese.
They're called backhoes in America. So
okay.
My uncle worked doing that, you know, so he drove a backhoe. Yeah, it's pretty good work if you're in the construction industry.
And you have to be trained to use those controls, you know, the little levers with both your hands, I guess. You turn it left, right, forward, back, or something like that, which I'm sure gamers would really enjoy because you can use the joystick for that while you look at the computer screen. I think they'll probably have a camera there in the backhoe, and they'll be able to see what's going on there. Kind of makes me wonder, well, why don't they just use AI to do that instead of actual people? But I think they probably need to sort of survey the situation. AI would probably screw it up, at least at this particular point. And besides, it does give these people a job opportunity.
It's kind of cool. The remote operation system allows one operator to control multiple construction sites from a single office. So you don't even have to hire, you know, two or three or four guys to work on four different construction sites. They just have that one guy, one operator, who is controlling multiple construction sites from a single place, a single office. So this is maximizing efficiency and reducing the need for on-site workers. One of the good things that I can think of right here is that it's probably a lot safer working on those backhoes remotely, for sure, because I know my uncle was hurt a couple times.
We do have to remember that there are lots of injuries in the construction industry, and we don't really hear about it so much. So, yeah, do take that in mind. It can be dangerous work.
That's why they pay so much.
Indeed, because it's very risky. And I would imagine that the government will probably require an actual person to be on site to at least supervise what's going on there.
Sure.
To make sure it's safe for everybody. And here in the next paragraph it says, this innovative approach aims to transform the construction industry's image from dirty and dangerous work into a high-tech appealing career. So that's what this innovative approach is trying to do. Innovative means it's new and novel. It's kind of an interesting new idea. And this is its goal. It wants to change or transform the construction industry's image, or the idea that people have about the construction industry, into a new image. So right now, I guess people imagine that the construction industry is kind of dirty and dangerous work. Of course, the construction workers return home with very dirty clothes, and they probably smell really bad. So, of course, people have that sort of impression of construction workers. We should respect them greatly because they build our society. Without them, we don't have a society or buildings to live in. But yes, indeed, they do have this image. It's very dangerous and it's kind of dirty work. So they want to change it. And it's going to be an appealing career for gamers especially, but maybe for some other kinds of people too.
I think it's a great idea. So these gamers can apply or use their precise control skills and quick reactions to real world projects. Yeah, if you play and are very good at video games, your reaction time is very fast, very quick. So this is really true. Precise here is one of our vocabulary words. It just means really accurate, very exact. You want someone who's very precise if you have important work. For example, if you work in a drugstore and you're preparing people's medicine that they're going to take home and take, you hope that somebody is very precise, especially if they have to measure different things. So they've got really precise control skills already from gaming, and they demonstrate really quick reactions. All of this is important if you're operating heavy machinery that's also pretty dangerous at times. So I like this. This is great.
And what's more, or also in addition, the technology may be useful in disaster relief situations.
Oh, yeah.
Like a tornado or a typhoon or an earthquake or whatever, so they can send these machines out to rescue trapped people from buildings and things like that. And, of course, that's where remote-controlled equipment can operate in dangerous areas without risking lives. So, of course, we have to thank those rescue workers who come out there and try to save us.
And the dogs.
And the dogs, too. They're all risking their lives. And with these machines, hey, maybe nobody has to die when they try to help others who are in trouble. Okay, that brings us to the midway point in today's lesson. Let's take a break now, but please stay tuned. We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back, everybody. Let's continue with our lesson. We're done talking about what's going on with the construction industry in Japan. Now let's go into the ocean and talk about coral restoration. Of course, you've heard of coral before, and of course, coral is kind of in trouble these days. I guess the oceans are getting warmer, and coral is kind of dying off. So scientists have developed this smelly gel to boost coral restoration. What the heck is that all about?
I love that they're calling it a smelly gel. Smelly is a great word, guys. It just means stinky. It has a really bad odor. It's unpleasant. So you could use smelly to describe something like maybe the trash that hasn't been taken out for a couple of days. It can get really smelly if you don't do something about it. Gel is kind of in between a hard solid and a liquid. If you know me, and some of you out there who listen have actually talked to me in real life, and you know that I slick my hair back in a bun so that I'm cooler, I use a lot of gel on my hair.
Dippity-doo?
No, dippity-doo.
That's probably been off the market for many years.
Yeah, it was a brand in America, dippity-doo. So funny. Anyway, yeah, that gel can be very helpful in styling your hair in different ways. Well, this is smelly or stinky gel that's helping to boost coral restoration. If you restore something, you put it back to its original state or a much better state than it's currently in. Maybe you have an old home in your neighborhood that's being restored and kind of brought back to life. It's kind of fun to see that. So this is boosting or increasing or making something stronger, the coral in the area that's kind of struggling right now.
Okay, and scientists have developed a new gel that could greatly improve coral reef recovery. So that introduces the topic to us. We're talking about scientists, people who work in universities or companies or whatever, and they're trying to save the coral. So they've come up with this idea, hey, we could actually use this new gel to improve coral reef recovery. Okay, some people are probably wondering, how are you going to use a gel to help coral stay alive? Coral, of course, when it's all together in one area, is a coral reef. There's the Great Barrier Reef off of Australia. That is a big coral reef. And I think there are some coral reefs around Taiwan, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not quite sure. I'm not really into scuba diving, but there might be around here somewhere. There are probably lots of coral reefs down in the Philippines or wherever. And, of course, we want to save the coral reefs, so we want them to recover. And the gel releases chemical signals that encourage coral larvae to settle and grow in damaged reef areas. So that's how it works. You put the gel on the coral. I guess you would probably use scuba divers or whatever. And then it would release chemical signals, and then coral larvae would settle and grow in these damaged reef areas. It's kind of like bait for a coral larvae that is floating in the water, and the coral larvae smell it. There's something interesting down there. Let's go down there. They set up shop. They plant themselves, and they grow in those damaged areas.
Yeah, it says it's a chemical signal. A signal is kind of like some sort of action. It could be you using your hand to say, come here, you know, or it could be a sound. Sometimes when the train is coming, it wants to cross a track, it will sound that signal to alert or warn people. So it's something that's used to convey information. And it's like Tom said, it's saying, hey, larvae, come on over here. You'll like this particular reef. So these coral larvae drift in the ocean after they're born. I didn't know this. This is very interesting. If you drift, you just kind of float. You're moving. You're not really actually using a lot of power. For example, a bird can drift by not flapping their wings. Sometimes if you let go of a balloon, it just drifts in the sky. It's pushed around by the wind, of course, but it doesn't have its own power. So the larvae is just drifting in the ocean after they're born. And choosing where to settle down is critical, very important, because once they attach, and they do have to attach to something, they stay there permanently. Permanently means forever. It's not a temporary home for them.
Exactly. So, of course, someday we may have a permanent home. When we're young, of course, we're probably living at home or renting a dorm room or apartment or something. But when we save up enough money, we can have a permanent home and we can stay there as long as we want to. And yes, indeed, they will stay there forever, permanently. Now, unfortunately, degraded reefs or artificial structures often lack the natural chemical cues that make larvae feel safe. Okay, so if we have a reef that is degraded, that means it has become lower in quality. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we're also talking about artificial structures, things under the ocean that try to attract larvae. They do this all the time. They, like, sink ships or whatever to grow coral reefs or something. But these are degraded reefs, and they don't have those chemical cues that attract the larvae, okay? So a cue here is just an indication or a signal, and the larvae, again, are floating through the water, and they don't really smell something nice. I think that's similar to humans, you know, if you meet somebody, we kind of subconsciously smell those people and think, hey, I can smell this person, and this person really smells good. I'd like to be together with this person.
Aren't they pheromones or something like
that?
Yeah,
something like that. That sounds right. Or you pick up bad smells from them. It's not just body odor, but it's just some kind of thing that your smell just doesn't agree with, and you just don't like being around those people. I guess it's kind of the same way the larvae floating. They are floating through the water, and they don't have those cues, so they don't feel safe, and they just keep drifting on.
I wanted to say it's a pheromone. It's not a pheromone. It's a pheromone. And like we were just saying, it's some sort of chemical signal that people use, animals, insects, you know, to attract another of their species so they can mate. Yeah. Sometimes you're just drawn to certain scents, I think. So it's kind of interesting that this gel is sending out these chemical cues. I wanted to also mention another way we use cue is if you're on stage and it's your turn to say a particular line, sometimes there will be a cue from someone off stage, you know, telling you what to do, or it's your turn to sing now or something. If you're a conductor conducting the orchestra, you will use that baton that you wave, and you will cue a particular instrument to start playing.
Like so, the timpani or something.
Yeah, so it is a signal, as Tom said. Maybe you're in class and the teacher nods at you to kind of cue you to begin reading. You know, she's asked you to read a certain page and she nods. That's a cue to tell you to go ahead and start.
And if you play billiards or pool, the white ball is the cue ball. Now, in fact, these environments may give off warning signals that prevent larvae from settling at all. So in some cases, they may actually give off bad smells that say, hey, larvae, don't you even think about coming here. Go away. We don't want you. So maybe if you put that gel on the coral reef, the larvae may change their minds and say, well, I guess I'll go after all. I think I'll settle here and be here permanently. Now, here in the next paragraph, it says, researchers look for ways to solve the problem and focused on a type of algae known to release helpful substances. So they had this idea down of they need to attract larvae in the water. So they have this idea. That's how they want to solve this problem. And so they focused on a kind of algae which does release those helpful signals or cues or those substances. Now, algae is a very simple kind of plant that floats in the water. Maybe it's single cell or something like that. It's very, very small in size. And indeed, they focused on a particular type of algae. I can imagine there are thousands of different kinds of algae in the ocean, but they focused on one particular type, and they did that because it actually releases substances that larvae like.
Interesting. I wanted to mention, for those of you who perhaps are getting ready to go to the UK to study English or are studying British English, they don't say algae like we do. They say algae, with a hard G sound, so it's a little different. And larvae, that we pronounce, is larvae in British English. So sometimes our languages are a little different. American English is not exactly like British English. And so wherever you're going to go and study, maybe for advanced education, you'll want to look into more of how they say things. Both Tom and I either listen to or read British things occasionally, so we'll know some of the differences. But, yeah, this is an interesting thing that they're doing. They're trying to solve a problem, and they focused on a type of algae that is known to release helpful substances, and then they created an artificial gel. So based on that real algae that they found, they created something that was very similar. If you mimic someone, you copy them. We call those people who do this for a living mimes, M-I-M-E, a mime. Or there are really good comedians out there who are really clever and can mimic somebody else's way of speaking to sound almost the same, even their gestures or maybe how they use their bodies. Good actors are good mimics. Not everybody who acts is a good mimic. I wasn't a mimic, but those that are able to copy a real person in real life and make you feel like you're watching them, they're kind of cool to watch.
Yeah, sometimes people can mimic the voice of, say, Donald Trump or Barack Obama or whatever, and they sound just like them. That's part of a comedic routine. Maybe you have some friends who can do that as well. So, yes, indeed, this artificial gel will mimic the algae's natural signal. So it's not the exact signal, but it copies it. Mm-hmm. It mimics it. It's kind of the same. And in experiments, the gel increased larval settlement by up to 20 times compared with surfaces without the gel. Now, we're not scientists here, and I think Stephanie and myself both have never really heard of the word larval before. That's
no.
The adjective when you're talking about things that have to do with larva or larvae. Larvae is plural, of course. So we're talking about settlement by larvae, and that is larval settlement. And, yeah, that sounds like a pretty good result here, up to 20 times larger than without the gel. So it seems to be quite effective.
Yeah, settlement is when people, or animals. It could be a group of animals. They establish a community, and they hang out together. And here the larvae have decided to settle in a particular place because they like that smell of that gel, which is kind of fun. Their results have been really impressive. Increased settlements by up to 20 times compared with surfaces that don't use the gel. So we wish them a lot of luck. This method could bring new hope to coral reef restoration. We love the look of coral reef. Coral reefs around the world are beautiful. Remember, if it's one, it's just a coral reef. But if you're talking about coral reefs in different locations, you can put an S on it. It's one of those interesting nouns in English. But we have a lot of little tiny fish and animals that like to live in the coral reef as well. So we need more of the coral reef to hang out and be restored if they've been damaged. So in the future, it might help coral reefs grow and survive on their own. We wish them a lot of luck.
And maybe you could grow coral inside your aquarium at home or whatever. It could look quite beautiful. It may have some applications for consumers. Okay, that brings us to the end of our explanation for today. And we have no Chinese teacher. The Chinese teacher has the day off. So that brings us to the end of another edition of our program. And again, make sure you check out our extra content on YouTube and Facebook. And we look forward to seeing you again next time. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.